Off the Ball.
GAA.
The game is in a state of evolution at the minute, a state of flux. It's constantly evolving. There may be little tweaks needed, but I don't really fully get why they changed what we had last year.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Gaelic football on Off the Ball.
In partnership with AIB. Proud supporters of the AIB All-Ireland Club Championships. Because we believe support is what gets you the life you're truly after.
You're welcome back to Friday Night's Off the Ball. And I'm very happy to say that Kerry star Caoimhe Evans is with us as part of the launch of the Lidl-sponsored Comórtas Pella Pádraig O'Shea 2026. Now, the Gaelic Football Festival, which is also supported by ejmenswear.com, the Kerry County Council Tourism Unit, Fáilte Ireland and Údaráis na Gaeltachta, has attracted over 23,000 club players, managers and supporters since it was founded way back in 1989. And this year it's taking place all across the Dingle Peninsula from the 20th to the 22nd of February, with Pádraig O'Shea's Pub and Ventry acting as Comórtas HQ with live music and DJs all weekend. You can get more details on PádraigO'Shea.com. Caoimhe, you're welcome to the show. How are you getting on?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well. You're from Kiel yourself, so you're on the road out to Dingle. I presume you've been out to the Comórtas before?
I have, yeah. And actually, luckily enough, our club played in the Comórtasville Lidl Pádraig O'Shea tournament 2 years ago. So yeah, it's a great weekend, like, and it's a brilliant initiative. Do you know, it gets clubs together and it gets people playing football and having some crack. So it's do you know, it's great.
How did you get on 2 years ago?
Not so great. we actually had new management on board, and I think they got a bit of a fright at how poorly we performed. But I think we kind of had other things in mind for that weekend. It was grand, but no, we had a great time. And like I said, it's a brilliant time of the year to kind of run the tournament. You know, you're back and you're just starting back and you're kind of in the middle of pre-season. So it's great to get teammates together, and, you know, it's a good team bonding session.
So the county players on the women's side of things go down and play, or was it a bit, have things changed in the last couple of years?
I wasn't involved that year, you see. I went to NMIJ one that year, so I was able to play.
Okay, so I was thinking it's not exactly perfect preparation for the next round of the National League the following week, but it just seems like unbelievable crack. The kind of the sense of the, you know, you are obviously taking the games very seriously during the day, but at the night time the place is just alive, I'd imagine. I haven't been down myself, but I presume the evenings are just as good as the days.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, like, and in fairness, it's such it's so well organized. Like, they always have a great lineup in Pádraig O'Shea pub for the night time, and so, you know, it is great fun. And I think this year, I think I heard that there were 12 ladies teams from all around the country playing in it. So it just shows, like, how, you know, ladies football is in a really, really strong place at the moment. Like, so it's great.
Definitely. On that topic, we're seeing a new version of football in the women's game at the moment, just like we saw it in the men's last year. So, general open question to you on this. You're up against Dublin last week. How did you find the new rules?
Yeah, like, it's very, very positive for the ladies' game and the men's, of course. Obviously, we seen the new rules come into the men's game last year, and, like, it was a joy to watch. And I think there was a bit of uncertainty if they were going to be brought into the ladies' game, but you know, it was great to see that they were going to be brought in and that they're being trialled for the first three rounds of the league. And I suppose, why wouldn't they? At the end of the day, we're playing the same game with the same skill set and the same demands. So, you know, we'll take them in our stride, and we're very open to adjusting to the new rules.
I'm right in saying that it's pretty much the entire suite of rules, with the exception of the kick-out needing to go past the 40-metre arc.
Yeah, exactly that, yeah.
Okay. You were playing midfield last week against Dublin. How did you find, you're listed at midfield anyway, how did you find your own experience being in the middle of the park or in that general area? Because the initial feedback last year from the lads was that maybe a bit of extra fitness was required. Now, I think as the year went on, that kind of question seems to diminish a little bit, and actually everybody seemed to be totally fine. I presume that's the same case for you. It's actually more the club players who maybe might struggle with the extra rigours. I presume, given the strength and conditioning you've done over the last couple of years, stepping up in terms of the greater openness of the football you're playing now is no bother to you.
Yeah, like it definitely is going to require a bit more fitness, which we are working on at the minute. And we've a brilliant strength and conditioning coach, Wayne, who's very to the book with all these things. So he has all of his facts in place. But yeah, like it was interesting. Obviously, the new rules they're going to bring a lot more physicality to the ladies' game, which we seen last weekend. We played Dublin in the first round. Conditions weren't great, so we weren't like as such. We weren't really able to showcase any of the new rules. A bit of soul and go used a bit, which is gonna like open up the game so much. It's gonna like allow the game to be a lot more free flowing, which is great, and it's very positive. So hopefully now this weekend we're playing Waterford in the second round of the league, and hopefully conditions providing that we'll be able to use them a lot more.
Yeah, looked like an absolute dog of a day in Clondalkin last week. Like the camera was struggling to give us any vision on TG Cahir throughout the match. The physicality thing might actually end up being the biggest change, certainly from a participation standpoint. I presume it was frustrating on so many levels, the physicality that was permitted or not permitted over the past couple of years. There's greater freedom now in terms of being able to, I guess, use your physicality in the game.
Yeah, big time. And I think as well, a lot last year there was a bit of uncertainty. Like some refs would allow a certain amount of physicality, others refs would be more strict with it. But now that there's a rule set in place, at least we are all on the same page. We all know where we stand with the tackling rules. So it's going to be for the betterment of the game, and it's going to improve it. Yeah.
So what are the physicality rules now? What can you do?
So now you can tackle when a player has a ball secured, you're allowed to tackle now. Whereas previously you were only allowed to tackle when the ball was on show. So when a player was about to take a play, you were allowed to put in the hand and tackle. So it's great. Like it should, I think like it should have, that should have been the way previously. So it's good now that it's started.
Does that also come with a different aspect of how you train now over the next little while? Actually, how you dispossess the person who's running with the ball? Like it's a vastly different thing. You kind of had to wait for your moment previously, whereas now you go straight for the player, you go straight for the ball.
Yeah, I think it's like, and it's driven our standards now with training as well. So it's great. Like, and we'll be working on contact and tackling a lot more over the next couple of months. So really looking forward to that. And I think as well, last weekend I was reading that was there 5 2-pointers kicked by various ladies teams in the first round of the league, which it's excellent to see. Like, and it just shows that, you know, the ladies' football has come a long way, and it's, you know, it's only improving.
Definitely. On a better day, there would have been a load in that Dublin Kerry match as well, given some of the forwards that both squads have. Just
Definitely, yeah.
on the physicality thing again, did I read that you got taken off with whiplash during the game? That this is the we're celebrating the physicality, and also, oh God, you ended up getting injured in the process.
Yeah. I did. Yeah, I got a bit of a bang to the head, all right. But I suppose that's all part of it now. I'm going to have to toughen up a little bit.
it's a brilliant time for the game. In terms of what you've seen last year from the men's side of things, is there anything that surprised you now that you're actually playing in the new game? Because we've talked a lot about it over the last 12 months, and I'm sure you've watched so much of the men's game over the last 12 months as well. Now that you've actually got the chance to play it, is there anything that's caught you by surprise?
Yeah, a bit. I think even watching the solo and go rule, it seems a lot more easier than when you're in the moment, because you're so used to when you get a free stopping up and look at like putting your head up to see is there any options. Whereas now you straight away you have to be on the ball like to remember the solo and go. That's definitely one thing that surprised me from playing. And as well, I think the three up and three down rule kind of surprised me a small bit as well, in the case that like communication is key. It's really, really important to be communicating for that, because it's if you switch off for a second and you cross the line, then you're in breach. So you just need to be on the ball at all times, which is good. Like, and you know, it's like I said, it's driven our standards of training big time.
Yeah, it's just hugely punitive if you actually breach that rule. Similarly, with some instances of the freeze, as we've seen in so many games over the past year, the handing the ball back to your opponent, and the punishment on that is so severe that you'd imagine it'll be eradicated, but it does still leave this grey area of potentially a referee getting one of those situations wrong, especially if the wool is covering their eyes deliberately by an attacking player. How have you found that? I presume the 50-metre rule is the same in the LGFA as well.
It is, yeah, and I think it happened definitely once or twice in our game last weekend against Dublin. It's just what's difficult about that rule as well is the fact that it's trying to remember to give back the ball. Sometimes you don't mean to throw it back or throw it on the ground. Like it's just a complete lapse of memory. So it's just, like I said, trying to be on the ball, trying to remember these things, but that'll come with playing games and getting used to them.
Definitely. It'll be second nature soon, no doubt. You mentioned there earlier on, Caoimhe, about having the opportunity to go and play in the Comórtas 2 years ago because you'd taken your break from intercounty football at that point. Can I just ask you about that year that you had? First of all, your decision to step away and take a break and get out of the country first and foremost. What went into that decision, Caoimhe, and how hard was that in the first instance to leave the setup?
Yeah, it was a very tough decision. At the time, I was kind of on the panel. I was coming off the bench, not really making much of an impact. And I just felt like my love for the game it had gone at that stage. And so for me personally, I had to take the step back to see could I change my perspective on football. So obviously, I took a step back and I went on a J1 to Chicago, and like I had a great year, and I played with a club, Erin Rovers, in Chicago. And I think like one thing that like really surprised me when I went to Chicago was the football culture, like how important it was over there. It completely caught me off guard. I kind of didn't expect like there to be such a grow for football in the likes of Chicago, but it was just great. It stripped everything back for me, really, and it made me realize why I played sport in the first instance, like just for the love of the game, just for crack and making friendships and making memories, things like that. So, like, I have a lot to thank Erin Rovers in Chicago, because when I came back, I just had a greater appreciation for the game and a completely different perspective.
Certainly in the past, the clubs in Chicago absolutely hated each other. We had David Brady and Kevin O'Brien in studio here now. To be fair, they're a good bit older than yourself, but they were talking about going over to Chicago, presumably in the 80s or early 90s, and there would be certain pubs where you wouldn't be able to go into if you played for one club, because the Irish people who'd been over on their summers over there would be drinking there, and they'd play for the rival club. Does that still exist today? Is it a little bit more friendly at this point in history?
Yeah, no, it still exists. It's still going strong. The rivalries over there, it's actually hilarious. You just wouldn't expect it. Like, you obviously, there's lots of rivalries at home between different clubs and different counties. You wouldn't think that when you go to Chicago, you're going to be in the same boat out there. But yeah, it was funny because Rachel Dwyer, another one of my Kerry teammates, she actually stepped away at the same time. And she actually went to Chicago as well and played for one of the rivalry clubs.
Right.
So we were playing against each other over in Chicago. We were having a laugh about that. But yeah, it's great. Like, and you know, it's such a different experience. You get to see the culture over there, and you'd really appreciate it when you come back home.
So you were finishing up in college in 2024. You mentioned a J1 there. So
yes.
Presumably, like, still very early into your real life career in terms of finishing up college before going in to get a job or whatever the case may be, and also quite early into your intercounty career as well. Did you have that perspective at the time, Caoimhe, that, listen, it's grand, there's going to be so many more days for me down the line here, there's no real pressure here to hang around and dig my feet in if I'm not fully enjoying it?
Not really. I think I was, when I made the decision, I always had it in the back of my head, what, there is a big chance that I won't get back into the setup when I come back home. I think that was playing on my mind a lot, and I think I was worrying about it a lot. So it's just one of the things, it's just like you have to weigh up your pros and cons. And obviously, the year I did decide to take a step back, the girls went on and they won the All-Ireland, which is, look, it was bittersweet, but like, I just was so happy for the girls, and they worked so hard to get where they did. But, you know, I've no regrets either. Like, as in, I came back, when I came back and I was lucky enough to get the phone call to come back into the Kerry setup. And I just felt like I was a different player when I came back. So, look, it was the best decision for myself. But obviously, you do have to weigh up your pros and cons, yeah.
For sure. Where did you watch that final?
I watched it in where I was working, Lady Gregory's. It's an Irish restaurant in Chicago. So I was just watching it on my phone while I was working.
Like, obviously, they're your best mates, I presume. You're delighted for them as individuals, but you can't really beat about the bush that you've dedicated so much of your life to it and continue to do it. And so far in this generation of Kerry footballer, there is that one year where the ultimate success has had. So yeah. Dealing with that must have been tricky in some way at the time, Caoimhe.
Yeah, it was tricky. And I actually, on that day, we were down after work. I went down to Gaelic Park because we were playing a game. I actually met Rachel down there as well. And we were kind of in the same boat. You know, we were both kind of a bit like, you know, a bit bittersweet. But look, at the end of the day, like, You have to go with what your gut's telling you. And, you know, like, as in, you come back and something like that will drive you on as well. So it's a bit of a motivating factor as well for me, yeah.
Very good. Just one other thing I wanted to ask you about, just about your own club, the amalgamation that it is in terms of Milltown Listry and Kiel, which would be your club in men's football, I suppose, Kiel GAA. Was that amalgamation something new, Caoimhe, that came about maybe due to lack of numbers, or what's the genesis of the club there?
Yeah, actually, we celebrated 25 years of the club, like, so it's not that new, but yeah, I suppose it was just something that had to be done to get the numbers. But like, the club has just gone from strength to strength, and in each age group, from all the way up, we've two, if not three teams. So like, right. It's brilliant. Like, ladies football is just massive in Kerry now, and I see it in my local club. Like, the interest is unreal. So, do you know, it's great, and I suppose, like, it's just going to drive everyone on. And do you know, even in our senior club, like, we've great numbers, and it's great to see that girls aren't losing interest, they're not dropping out, that they keep coming through.
So that's amazing. Yeah, 25 years. So your entire life basically has had that club in existence, so you've never known being out on your own as a club, as a player?
Yeah, no, I suppose I did play with Kiel GAA, with the boys, until right. under 12, and then I went over to the ladies club. So like, obviously those couple of years that I played with the lads, that probably made me really in such, because I was tougher then, and I was ready for road. But yeah, it's like we're so lucky. I know a lot of girls are struggling for numbers and things like that, so we're lucky in that aspect.
Like, what happens next? Like, is there a chance the club could be a victim of its own success when amalgamation comes into things? Like, I don't want to put the question of amalgamation to you unless you've thought about it yourself, because if these are three very successful areas who've come together and there's two teams per age group, for example, and then every GA club is supposed to have a women's side and a men's side at this point, is there a chance that the whole thing disbands as a result of how many players you have?
There hasn't been any talks of it, and look, I don't think it's an option in the nearby future. Like, I don't think anyone would allow something like that to happen as of yet. But look, we won't worry about that side of things. We'll just focus on positives. Like,
yeah, for sure. Like, it's just a curious one. Like, it's such a complicated question. Maybe one that I would have thought is such a simple one at the very outset when they begin this amalgamation question, where it's like, well, it's very obvious the solutions here, but there are certain wrinkles, positive and negative, that are so hard to iron out. Like, your club is such a success story, and what's the solution there when amalgamation comes in? That is maybe a question for another day. Caoimhe, great to chat to you. Thanks a million for hopping on the call, and I'm sure you'll be keeping a close eye on the Comortis, if not participating in the daytime or the nighttime activities this year.
Definitely, yeah. Thanks very much for
Cheers.
Having me on.
Thanks, Caoimhe. Just a reminder as well that Caoimhe was talking to us as part of the launch of the Lidl-sponsored Comortis Pella Pádraig Óseá 2026. So it's been going since 1989. Details on pádraigóseá.com.
Gaelic football, on off the ball.
In partnership with AIB, proud supporters of the AIB All-Ireland Club Championships. Because we believe support is what gets you the life you're truly after.